The third parak focuses on the Mizbeach, and in addition, the area between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. At the end of the parak, we'll talk about the Ulam, which was adjacent to the Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash. Mishnah Aleph tells us that the Mizbeach was actually built on three basic levels, and it decreased in area as it went higher and higher. So the Mishnah will tell us, and we'll do it outside first, that the basic level of the Mizbeach, called the Yesod, the base, was 32 amas by 32 amas, and it was one amah high. And there it indented. It indented one amma. So accordingly, the next level up, the second level, was not 32 by 32, but 30 by 30 because of that first indentation. And it was 5 ammas high. And once you reach 5 ammas high of that second area, there was 6 ammas from the floor because you had the one amma of the Yesod. And then we have the 5 ammas of what's called the Sovev. There was a ledge around it that the Kohanim could walk around. And there was a second indentation on all sides. So accordingly, to get up to the third area of the Mizbeach, it was indented. It wasn't 30 by 30. It was 28 by 28. And that was actually 3 ammas high. So we have the Yesod, that's 1 amma high. We have the Sovev, that's 5 ammas high above that. And then we have the top level, that was 3 ammas high. That is a total of 9 ammas. And then there were kranut horns that were 1 amma by 1 amma on the corners, 4 corners of the Mizbeach. So that was a third indentation. And there was a fourth indentation as well. There was an area of an amma for the Kohanim to walk around the Makom HaMa'arach, which is the place where the fire of the Mizbeach was. And we will see all of that and more in Mishnah Aleph. HaMizbeach Haya Shloshim Ushtayim HaShloshim Ushtayim. The Mizbeach was 32 by 32. That is the Yesod, the base of the Mizbeach. Ala Amma V'kanas Amma Zeyesod. It went up an Amma. It indented an Amma. That's our first indentation. This is the Yesod. Bottom line is the Yesod was 32 by 32 and 1 Amma high, and it indented in order to get to the second level. The second level, as we said, is called the Sovev. Nimtza Shloshim Al Shloshim. That was starting the whole area of the second area up. The second segment was 30 by 30. If it was 5 tall, and then it indented the Sovev to the area where the Kohanim could walk around, that was called the ledge, the Sovev. Nimsa, that the third part up, Esri Mushmona was 28 by 28 on a gross basis. Mikom HaKranos, Amma Mizeva, Amma Mizan, the Kranot, the corners also at the way top, was 1 Amma by 1 Amma. So accordingly, because of that additional indentation of useful area on the top, Nimsa, Esri, Vesesh, Valesri, Meshesh, now it's with this third indentation, inside of those kranot is 26 by 26. And then we had a fourth indentation. It's an amma on each side. Mikom hiluch ragle akoni, where the koni would walk around. Amma mizeve, amma mizeve, an amma on this side, and an amma on this side. Accordingly, the real top of the mizbeach, where the fire would be, nimsa esrim va'arba, al esrim va'arba, makom maracha, was 24 by 24, the place where the maracha, the fire, would be. Amma rab yosim, itchila lo aya el shmoni va'esrim, Al Shmon of Esrim. I'm initially talking about Bayis Rishon. The Yesod wasn't 32 by 32, but is 28 by 28. And then after that, it did follow the same indentations, indenting 4 times, 1 amma on each side, for a total loss of 8 ammas from the total indentation. So it's 4 indentations, and each of them had 1 amma on each side, so each had a total of 2 times, so it's 4 times 2, is a total of 8, kones v'olah b'mida, so it followed the same trajectory, achinim samokam aracha, esrim ad esrim, so within the bayis rishon, it started at 28 on the bottom, and it wound up the place where the maracha was 20 by 20. Ukashalu b'nei agola, according when the b'nei agola, after the galos of Bavel, after 70 years after the destruction of the bayis rishon, they came back from Bavel, they added on to the initial 28 and by 28 of the Yesod that was of the Bayis Rishon, Hosifa Alav Arba Amas Min Adaram, they added another 4 Amas on the southern side of the Mizbeach, Arba Amas Min Amarav, and another 4 Amas on the western side, Kamin Gama. It was like an app upside down capital L, so it was just on 2 sides they added, so it went from 28 by 28 to 32 by 32. Shinemar, as it says in the Navi Yechezkel, talking about Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, Ariel, that is a reference to the Mizbeach. The name of the Mizbeach is Ariel. 12 orech b'shtemisra rochav ravua. It was 12 by 12, 12 length, amas, 12 width, So 12 amos by 12 amos length and width. But how is that possible? 12. Yachol sheino ela 12 al 12. Is it possible that it was only 12 by 12? So truth be told, kishu omer, if you continue in the pasuk, el arbas revav, for its four quarters, for each of the quarters was 12 by 12. Melamed, it's coming to teach us when talking about 12. Shemina emtsa, hu modet 12 amos lekol ruach, when you're measuring from the middle of the mizbeach, you would go 12 amos in each direction. That was for a total of 24. That was the measurement for the Bayis Sheni and will be a Mirtz Hashem for the Bayis Shlishi. We have gone through the structure of the Mizbeach, but in addition, V'chutsha Sikra Chogro Be'emtza, there was something called the Schuta Sikra, which is a line of red paint that was painted on all around. It circled it 5 amos from the bottom of the Mizbeach. In other words, it wound up 1 ama below the Sovev, the ledge there. And why did they paint that on? The Havdibal in Adamim Elyonim Adamim Adachtonim, because some Karbanos, the vast majority of the Karbanos, the Zrika of the Dam had to be below the Chuta Sikra. A few of the Karbanos had to be above. Accordingly, the Kohanim had to know where to do the Zrika. Accordingly, they painted the Chuta Sikra, that red line around it, at the proper place. We're actually going to tweak something. We started out by saying the Yesod was 32 by 32 around the entire Mizbeach. That is not the case. It was 32 by 32 on two full sides, on the northern side and the western side. And in addition, v'ochel bedorom ama achas uv'mizrach ama achas. And in addition, on the southern side, there was 1 ama addition. And on the east side, there was 1 ama addition. What does that mean? So on the northern side, the full northern side was 32 amas. And the entire western side was 32 amas. And when you're on the north, that 32, that additional amma, continued and wrapped around onto the eastern side 1 amma. And when talking about the western side, that it was 32 ammas, that additional lip that came out of the yesod, that went on the entire western side, and when it got to the southern side, it wrapped around and had an additional amma, but for the rest of the southern side and eastern side, it was only 31 ammas, not 32 ammas. Mishnah Bay says as follows, V'kerem ha'arvit romit ha'yushnei nekavim, on the southwestern corner of the yesod, there were two holes, one on the southern side, one on the western side of that corner there, kamin shnei chatamim dakim, and it looked like two thin nostrils, two holes punctured there, shadamim anitanim ha'yesod ma'aravi, v'yesod romi yordim bahen umis'arvim ba'ama, because some of the blood, the excess blood after the zrika, had to be put onto the Yesod Maravi, onto the western side, into the western hole. Some had to be put on the southern hole, depending on the Torah of the Korban. And they would go down in those two holes, and they would mix together in the stream that went through the Chatzar of the Beis HaMikdash, v'yotzin l'nachal Kidron, and would go out into the Nachal Kidron from there. Mishnah Gimel, l'mata b'ritzbad, but also Akeren was still on the southwestern corner, but not on the Yesod itself, right in the floor of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. There was Makom Ayisham Ama Al Ama. There was a tile there, Vitavla Shashayas. There was a tile made of shayish that was made of marble, and it was there in the floor, and it was removable. Vitabas Haisak Fuaba, and there was a ring there that would be in the top of it in order to use that as a handle to remove that tile that was an Ama by Ama. Why did they want to remove it? What was its use? It was actually empty underneath. Shebo Yordim Lishis Uminakima. So there they would go down to an area underneath the courtyard. It was a pit in the courtyard of the base of Mikdash, and that is where then when they did water and wine libations on the Mizbeach, it would go down into that area, and there were times that it would congeal there, and they would have to remove that area. They'd have to clean it out for future libations to go there. Accordingly, they would go through that area, that Amma by Amma, they would remove that tile, have a small little coin, go in to go down there, clean it out, and then they would cover back up. Now we're talking not about the Mizbeach proper, but the ramp to go up to the Mizbeach. It was on the southern side of the Mizbeach, and its dimensions as follows, Shloshim Ushtayim Al Rochav Sheshesre. So it was 32 in length by 16 in width, Uruvuva Haisalom Marava, and there was an opening like a window on the western side of this ramp. Sheshama Yunosim Sule Chatasov. It was a psul, something that disqualified a chatasov, a certain type of bird offering. They could not burn it immediately. They had to wait until the next day. So they would place it in that revuva until the next day, and then they would burn it. Mishnah Dalit Echad Avne Hakevesh, Dechad Avne Mizbeach Mebikas Beis Hakerem. Where would they get the stones that would be used to build the Mizbeach and to the stones for the kevesh, the ramp up. They needed stones that were totally smooth. Accordingly, there was a place called Beis Kerem. It was the Bika, the valley of Beis Kerem. They had a specialty in very smooth stones there, v'chofrin l'mata me'abesula, and there they would dig in an area that was untouched soil. It could not have been planted and worked beforehand. It was unquarried. They would go underneath the virgin soil, and they would quarry up the stones. And they would bring shlemos, stones that were shalem, without any cracks and the like. They were totally smooth. In addition, there had never been iron on it, so it hadn't been worked and cut and the like by iron, and it hadn't even been touched by iron. Based on a pasuk, iron touching, just touching the stone, would invalidate that stone for being used in the altar and in the ramp to the altar. Upagima bechodavar, and if it were nicked, if the stone were nicked, it doesn't matter if it was nicked by something that was iron or not. It doesn't matter what it was nicked by. That would invalidate that stone as well. Nif gema achas, man. What happens when you already built a mizbeach and one of them becomes invalidated? It got a nick in it. It got a crack in it. Hipsula v'kulam k'shem. It would only be that specific stone that would be invalidated, but not all of the other stones. So they would have to remove that specific stone and replace it. And now we're going to talk about the maintenance in the base of Mikdash, specifically for the altar and the wall, outer wall of the Heichal. So there was a lot of blood all around and a lot of use of this mizbeach, kohanim all walking on it and all around using it. So they would replaster it with white plaster. We're talking about on the walls and top of the mizbeach twice a year. One time before Pesach, one time before Chag. So that was twice a year. And when it came to the plastering of a heichal, the outside of the heichal, Pesach was only done one time before Pesach because the outside of the heichal didn't get as much use, not as much wear and tear. Only had to be plastered once a year. Rabbi Omer, Kol Erev Shabbos Melabnim Osu B'mapa. And in addition, Rebbe says maintenance on a weekly basis. They have to clean off the altar, the mizbeach, with a wet cloth because it would get full of blood. So before Shabbos, in preparation of Shabbos, they would clean that as well. Lo hayu, going back to the plastering of the mizbeach, lo yusadin osan bechapis shel barza, they would not plaster it over with a tool called a trowel that was made of barzel. There was a concern if you were plastering it and you use that metal tool and it touched the stones itself, it would invalidate it. Maybe it would touch a stone and invalidate it. And now we're going to explain why iron is such a negative thing for the mizbeach that would invalidate any of the stones. Shabarzel nivra lekatzar yamav shel adam, because iron was created in order to shorten the life of people. It's used in weapons to kill. V'amizbeach nivra lahariach yamav shel adam, and the mizbeach itself was created in order to extend life. People bring korbanos. They bring, for example, a korban chatas to act as a kapkara for their sins. So that's going to lengthen somebody's life. It would be improper. It would not be right to have the mekatzer, something that shortens somebody's life, be lifted and used on something, the mizbeach, that extends somebody's life. Now we're moving to the north of the mizbeach, and a lot of the shechita in the base of Mikdash for kodshei kodashim korbanos was done on the northern side of the courtyard. So now we are talking about that area, and built into the ground, implanted at least one side in the ground, were tabos, rings. One side could be removed from the ground, and they would use that to clasp the animals down. It's a machlokas. Did they use those rings to hold the neck of the animal during the shechita or the legs of the animal during the shechita? And so these tabos, there were 24 of them, were on the northern side of the mizbeach. And it's a machlokas what the structure is. Was it six that was opposite the mizbeach, closest to the mizbeach? So six of these, and then there was, or in other words, rows of six by four, or were there four closer to the mizbeach, and it was rows not of six by four, but four by six? The tabor and the tzonis of the mizbeach, shisha sadarim al arba arba, there were six rows of them, each with four rings in it, or v'yeshomim arba al shisha shisha, or was it four rows with six in each of them? Shaleim shochtim es hakodshim, and it was those, they shechted the kodshim, they had, it held the animals, and that's where they did the shechita. And thereafterward, after the shechita was on Beis HaMitbachayim, Hayolatona Shal Mizbeach, the butcher house where they would carve up the animals was to the north of Mizbeach as well. And in that area that had proper equipment for skinning the animals and carving the animals up. Ve'alav shmona amudim nanasim, that eight short pillars there. Urevi'in shel erez al gabeyan, so the pillars themselves were made of stone, and on top of them were blocks of cedar, right on top, heavy blocks of cedar, v'unkalios shel barzal yukvuim b'em, and there were iron hooks that were implanted, that was stuck into the blocks of cedar, u'shlosha starim hayu l'kol echav echad, there were actually three rows, higher, middle, and lower, and depending on the height of the animal, how big that animal was, that is what they would use. If it was a longer animal, they would use the higher up unkalias, the higher up iron hooks, because they didn't want that animal dragging on the floor, shebayim toling, so they would hang it from the back legs with the head downward. They didn't want that head to be on the floor. Mafshitin al shulchana shashay shebin amudim, so they had tables there, tables made of marble that were right by each of those amudim, by those pillars, and the head would rest on that table, and accordingly they would be able to skin the animals and carve them up in that way. Mishnah Vav HaKior, now we're talking about the laver, that is like the sink. It was a copper vessel that it was full of water, and the Kohanim would wash their hands and their feet before doing the avoda. So where was that located? Kior Hayabena Ulam al Mizbech. It was located between the Ulam, that is the antechamber, very large room we'll talk about shortly, to enter into the Heichal, Ulam Mizbech, and between the Mizbech. But that wasn't literal. The Kior wasn't physically between the two, but Umashul Klapei Adarim, it was actually in that area. But to the south of that area, that is where the Kohanim would wash their hands and their feet. Beina Ulam al Mizbech. Now we're going to get a little bit complicated. Beina Ulam v'le Mizbeach Shtayim v'esrim Adma. There were 32 Amas going east to west between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. And in that area, fit into those 22 Amas were Ushtemesre Ma'alos Hayusham. There were actually 12 steps that you would walk up from being low by the Mizbeach up to the entrance of the Ulam. So again, there were 22 Amas and 12 steps. And now we're going to see a Machlokes, the structure of those steps. It's actually going to be fairly similar, but the Machlokes is going to focus on how far away from the Mizbeach did the stairs begin to go. According to the Tanakhama, it was 3 Amos away. That's when the stairs started going up. And according to the second Shita that we will see of Rebbe Yehuda, it's going to be 2 Amos away. And what we're going to have is we're going to divide up these 12 steps into 3 sets. They're going to be 3 sets as follows. Each of them, Rom Ma'ala Chetzi Amah V'Shilcha Amah. So the first one, and the, when it comes to the height, it's going to be all of them. Each of them are going to have a height of half an Amah. So let's just talk about the height for a little bit, and then we're going to focus on the width of all the stairs. So when it came to the height, we said there are 12 stairs. Each of them was half an Amah high. Accordingly, that's a total height for all 12 stairs of 6 Amahs. So in other words, between the where the Mizbeach is low down and getting up to the Ulam, going on these 12 steps, there are going to be 6 Amahs height that will be achieved going between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. Now let's focus on the distance between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. As we said, the Shita of Chachamim, the Tanakhama, is that the stairs started rising 3 Amos away from the Mizbeach. So in other words, we have 19 Amos for the actual stairs themselves. And it went as follows. We'll start again. The first set of stairs, there are 3 sets of the 12. The first set, Rum Ma'ala Chetzi Amah V'Shilcha Amah, the first step, starting 3 Amos away from the Mizbeach, it went up half an Amah, and it was an Amah on top. So the width, the top of the step, was 1 Amah, and next it were another 2 steps. Each one also was Amah. So we have 3 steps in a row. Each of them on top is 3 Amos. We're still in the first set of the steps. And at the end of it was the 4th step, Verovet Shalos. It was a landing, but it was a step. It was just a much larger step. And it was 3 Amos in width at the top of the steps. So far we have 3 smaller stairs. This is all in the first set of stairs. We have 3 smaller stairs, 1 Amah on top, 1 Amah on top, 1 Amah on top. That's a total of 3. And then we have the larger step, the 4th step, that's another 3 Amahs. So now for the first set of steps, it's a total of 6 Amahs. And now we're going to go on to the second set of steps. And here, we're just going to have 2 smaller stairs. We're going to have 1 Amah and 1 Amah. And then again, we're going to have a larger landing step that is going to be 3 Amahs. So it's going to be a total of 5 Amahs in the second set. So the first step set had 6 Amahs. The second step, as we'll see shortly, is going to be 5 Amahs as follows. The Amah, this is the second step, 1 Amah, 1 Amah. So that was 2 Amahs, 2 stairs from 1 Amah width of the stair. The rov at shalosh and the landing was three, so that's a total of five in the second set of steps. And now the third step is actually going to have four smaller stairs, so it's going to be an amma on top, an amma on top, an amma on top. There's a total of four, and the landing stair is going to be larger. It's going to be four. So in this third step, ha'alyona, the first, third set, the top set of steps, amma, amma, so it's a total of four ammas, actually four smaller steps, v'rovet arba, and the rovet, the landing, actually had eight four amos in it, so the third set have a total of eight. So just to recap where we are, we said in this first shita that the steps, they started three amos away from the Mizbeach, total of 19 amas going up. The first set had six amas, the second set had five amas, and the third set had eight amas. That's for a total of 19 amas plus the first three. So that's a total of 22 amos between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, he was of the view that you actually start the stairwell two amos away, not three amos away. And accordingly, on the last stair that the Tana Kama had as four amos, the way top landing stair of four amos, Rebbe Yehuda has an additional amos, so for five amos. So Rebbe Yehuda Omer, ha'el yona amma amma, v'rov et ha'chamesh, the total, the third step, yes, I agree, it had four steps going up, one amma, one amma, one amma. But the landing area was, instead of four amos, it was five amos. So Rebbe Yehuda had one additional amma at the top because he had one fewer amma before the stairwell began. Now we're going to the Mishnah Zayin Pischo Shel Ulam. We are now at the entrance to get into the Ulam, and this was very unique. It was the largest doorway in the Beis HaMikdash, as we saw in the second parak. And also what was different is it did not have doors on it. It had a beautiful curtain. Pischo shel ulam gavo arba imam. It was 40 amas high, unbelievably high. Verachva esri mama, and it was 20 amas wide. We're going to focus on the width now, the 20 amas. Right on top of the door, bechamesh meltaros shel melas hayu al gabav. There were five decorative wood beams. Melas is oak, so they were made of oak wood on top of it. And as we said, the entrance was 20 amas wide, and each of these subsequent beams will be larger, wider and wider as follows. Hatachtona. So the first beam on top of the entrance to the door, on top of the entrance to the ulam, Odefet ala Pesach, was wider than the Pesach. So again, the Pesach was 20 amas. Amma mizeh v'amizeh. One amma on this side and one amma on that side. In other words, that first beam was 22 amas total length. One amma on additional of the door, excess on the door on this side, one amma on that side, for a total of 22 ammas. And each subsequent one was an additional two ammas, one on one side and one on the other side. So the next one, Shalamala Mimena, the second beam up, Odefes Alea, amma Mizeva, amma Mizeva, was an additional amma on each of the sides. So instead of 22 ammas, it was 24 ammas. And each one up, Neem says that the top of the five beams, El Yona Shloshim amma, it was 30 ammas wide, because they subsequently each one added two ammas on top of the other. V'nidbach, how about between those beams, there was a row, shalavanim, decorative stones between them, ayabin, kol achaz v'acha, between each of those beams. Mishneches, uklunaso shel eretz, hayukfui, mekotlo shel heichal, lekotlo shel ulam. There was a problem in the structure that because both the heichal and the ulam were so high, each of them almost at a height of 100 amma. So when it came to the heichal, which we'll talk about at the beginning of next parak, the heichal had a very strong roof on it that kept the walls intact. But when it came to the ulam, it did not have that strong ceiling on top, the roof on top of it. Accordingly, they laid beams from the eastern wall of the heichal, which was structurally sound, and they ran that to the eastern wall of the ulam, about 40 amos up, so halfway up approximately. So they had these beams that were holding, it was basically the eastern wall of the heichal was holding up the eastern wall, to the wall of the entrance wall of the ulam. So it says as follows, Mishtachesu klunasos beam shel erez, made of cedar, hayukvuim ekotlo shel heichal, the kotlo shel ulam, and it ran from the heichal, from the kotel of the eastern wall of the heichal to the eastern wall of the ulam, kadesh lo yivad, so that the wall of the ulam would not buckle, would not fall. And now we're talking about from the ceiling of the ulam, there were chains of gold that were implanted in the ceiling of the ulam. Why did they do that? So it hung almost all the way down to the floor. So the young Kohanim could climb up those silver, those gold chains, and see the crowns. What are the crowns? So this is talked about in the prophet Zechariah, These are Torahs. And now we're going to list the donors who donated the materials, the gold and the silver that were used in those crowns. Tia Lechela, Molotovio, Ledaya, Lechain, Ben Sfania. All of those should be a remembrance. Lizikram, Behechal Hashem should be placed in the Hechal Hashem. So it was placed high up in the Hechal Hashem. So they had to be able to see if they needed to be cleaned or needed to be fixed. Accordingly, to do that, the younger Kohanim would climb up those golden chains that were implanted into the ceiling of the ulam, and they'd be able to see those ataros or crowns to see if they had needs to get fixed and the like. In addition, another decorative thing that was there, Geffen shel zahav aisa omedes al pisco shel heichal. There was a grapevine. It was a golden grapevine that would stand at the entrance of the heichal, umudla agabai klunasos, and was hung over on wooden beams. And a lot of people donated gold for the purpose of this grapevine, this golden grapevine. Kol mishu misnadev, anyone who wanted to donate gold, alef, they wanted to donate enough gold for a new leaf, another leaf on this grapevine, or gargir, or a grape, or eshkel, or a cluster of grapes, maybe vesoleba, they would bring their gold, they would donate it, it would be formed, and they would hang it, it would be hung on this grapevine in front of the entrance to the Heichal. And so much was donated, there was a time that they actually had to move this grapevine, and they needed so many Kohanim to do it. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, Masa Hayah, this occurrence happened, v'nimnu alea 300 Kohanim, and they needed 300 Kohanim, because it was so heavy, so much gold had been donated. Chazal tell us that this is an exaggeration. Oftentimes when you see the number of 300, it's an exaggeration, but the lesson is as follows. So many people donated that they needed a tremendous amount of Kohanim, because the gold was so heavy.